At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
DraftKings has odds on who's going to lead the NFL in passing touchdowns this year. Paulie, I'll start with you. Who do they think will lead the NFL in passing touchdowns?
Still got to be Mahomes.
It is Mahomes. Who is second on that list? Marvin?
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert, no, he's fifth. Josh Allen is second, then Joe Burrow, and then Tua, and then Justin Herbert. By the way, we were curious, has somebody led the NFL in touchdowns and interceptions, same season? The closest we can find right now, Drew Brees in 2012 led the NFL with 43 touchdown passes, tied with Tony Romo for the most interceptions with 19. Brian Baumgartner, great actor. He, of course, played the role of Kevin Malone on The Office. Good friends with Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines Monday night. Aaron comes over, gives him a big hug, and then it went south from there. Brian joins us on the program. How did you end up on the sidelines?
First off, good morning, Dan.
Good morning,
Dan. I have no idea. I'm doing a speaking conference in Syracuse. By the way, I should mention a human resources conference. How I got chosen to speak at a human resources conference, I still don't know. They were delightful. And I was going to be in Syracuse Sunday night. I had a flight back Monday morning. And I was like, you know what? It's game one. He's playing. It's a 4-hour drive. I've got to go. So we call the Jets. I don't know. Someone on my team calls the Jets and says, I want to go. I tell him I'm going. And I show up at the stadium. And I don't know. I've never been there. I've never been to MetLife. I've resided in Lambeau for quite a while. And so I show up and suddenly they're like, we have 15 minutes. Do you want to go on the field? I said, well, yeah, sure. I go down. Maybe I can see him and say hi. And I didn't see him coming over. I tried to get his attention a couple times, and then he ran over, and it was very emotional, Dan. I have to tell you, I have been fortunate enough to have been at Super Bowls and World Series and NBA Finals games. The Carrie Strug moment at the Olympics in Atlanta when she broke her leg or whatever. I have never felt a stadium, a sporting venue, feel the way that it did in MetLife on Monday night in my life. That's me. I'm not going to argue. You know, other people can bring up. I am saying for me, on the sidelines before, when they first ran out, yeah. This was for warm-ups. And the guy with the hat started doing the J-E-T-S, Jets. It was, chills were running down my spine. And then we went up to the seats, and, you know, when he ran out with the American flag, he's introduced. I've never heard something that loud and that like genuine, because it wasn't like, oh, let's cheer on our team. It was like the weight of 55 years since they've won a Super Bowl, but really 22 years since 9/11. I'm getting chills talking about it right now. I'm giving myself chills, which is weird, but it was just like you could feel this collective relief and euphoria, and like he was carrying the hopes for them as a team and a city for the year. It was just, it was a moment I will never forget. Never forget.
And then,
of course, 11 minutes later, it's like, it's the dead, done, crazy. You were one of the few that I didn't text that night. Anyone's number that I had in my phone, some people started texting me. I'm not going to mention a ton of names, but like, because I was at the stadium and I guess this video had gotten released that I was there, asking me what was going on. Like, I can't see anything. So I just am trying to find out, like, what's going on? Is he okay? Is he coming back? Is he on the sideline? At one point, I will tell you this, is nothing about it is funny, but I was across the field and I saw somebody with a ball that looked like him. Now, maybe he doesn't look like him at all, but from where I was across the field, and I guess my eyes are going bad. I'm like, is that eight? Is that eight? He's like tossing a ball up in the air. Is that eight? To the guy I'm with. And he goes, no, that's five. The punter. It's not eight. So I didn't know what was going on. It was just horrible.
Have you reached out to Rodgers?
Yeah, but you know, he's got a lot going right now. And I expect at some point, you know, I flew back yesterday morning. I told Fritzy, I flew back yesterday morning, kind of when everything was for real happening. I suspect I'll talk to him at some point here when things calm down and maybe he gets his procedure done.
When's the first time you met Aaron Rodgers? How did this bromance start?
So the American Century Championship, which is the golf tournament that's in Lake Tahoe. This is 2008, summer of 2000. This story is insane. I don't know if I've ever told you the story. The story is insane. I was sitting at a blackjack table. There's a Harrah's casino.
I've been there.
And I'm sitting at the blackjack table and there's a guy sitting next to me and there's some people around and he starts chatting with me. I have no idea who he is. No clue who he is. He's a fan of The Office. And so we're chatting. And then when he introduces himself, I'm like, oh, you're the Cal guy, right? You're the guy who's going to replace Brett Favre here in a few months. Nice to meet you. And there are TVs around this is a true story. This sounds like a movie. It doesn't sound real. There are TVs around the casino up above the tables. You can kind of glance at. And that day is the day that Brett Favre said, I'm not retiring. So he's sitting there, he's playing in this event, he's about to be the starter of the Green Bay Packers. Favre has already retired, and now Favre says, I'm not retiring. So at this day that we meet, he doesn't know if he has a job or not, or if he's going to be a backup again, or they're going to sign him, and you know, all of that stuff. And you know, I don't, maybe I felt bad for him, I don't know. We just became friends, and then started playing a lot of golf together. He was living off season in the Southern California area, and ended up, I guess, a couple years later going to the Super Bowl in Dallas, where they won. And
well, whose idea was it to put him in an episode of The Office?
Me. That was me. At that point we were really, really good friends. And we did a table read of, this was like the final penultimate episode. I think it was supposed to be the second to the last episode. It ended up kind of in the last episode. That might be wrong. And they had a sports star written in, who I'm not going to name, in the script.
Can we guess? Can we guess?
Sure.
Okay. Football player?
No. Wait a minute. You can't. This is not 20 questions. No, I don't know if I don't know if that's ever gotten out. I don't know if I can do. I don't know.
LeBron James.
No.
Steph Curry.
No.
All right. Everybody gets a guess. Fritzy, take a guess.
Michael Jordan.
No.
Okay. Seton.
Scottie Pippen.
No.
Marvin.
Charles Barkley.
No.
Paulie.
I'll go Michael Phelps.
You're closer, but that's not true. Also, that's not correct.
Closer.
Also.
Closer. All right. Closer meaning.
Gosh, I don't know if this is ever going to. I don't. Can I say? I don't
yes,
even know.
Just say it. You're still on scholarship. Here we go. Hold on.
I'm not even supposed to talk about the show right now.
No, but Jesus. That's. You can talk about the past. You can't talk about the future.
I don't think I don't think I can. It was a tennis player.
John McEnroe?
Nope.
Serena?
It was a tennis player that lived in Los Angeles. Now I'm like telling you.
Pete Sampras.
Nope. I don't know why we're doing this game. What?
Just tell me who it is.
Tell you. Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick was my guess.
Andy Roddick.
Okay.
It was there. And so I went to Greg Daniels and I just said, I mean.
Oh, so you big-footed Andy Roddick.
This is why I didn't want to say anything, Dan. I don't know. Maybe yeah. I've met Andy. I don't know if Andy was a big fan. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. I went to Greg and I said, is this a deal? Like, is his name here because it's a done deal? In which case I would have done nothing. And he said, no, he was, not a placeholder, but he was someone we would love to have, but we have not reached out to anyone yet. And I said, well, I have a friend who's a really big fan of the show. If you're looking for a sports guy, I think he would work really well. So that's how it happened. Oh. It was that simple.
All right.
He said, yes, we would love to have him. And he was there a couple days later.
How were his acting chops?
I mean, look, he's still bummed out that they made him say a line that he didn't like.
What was the line?
There's a flag on the play.
Let me reintroduce you here. He played Kevin Malone on The Office. He's Brian Baumgartner.
I'm a bestseller. You don't talk about The Office. I'm a best-selling author, mega podcaster, award-winning.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you tell Fritzy that? Because Fritzy gave me this sheet here, and that's
he doesn't
all.
Listen to me.
It
he
just says actor played Kevin on The Office. That's all. Yeah. He
doesn't
all he
listen
put.
To me. He doesn't listen to me.
And the show is still doing unbelievably well. We played an episode. We played the chili episode yesterday because it's iconic. It's one of the best scenes in sitcom history is when you bring your chili in. Oh, God. If I'm in a bad mood, all I need to do is put that on, and Kevin makes me laugh.
That's very, very kind of you, Dan. I wish we were here under better circumstances. I heard you were talking about it yesterday. At least this was attributed to you totally randomly last night. Someone brought you up and I didn't even know at that moment that I was going to be on your show and said they were listening to you yesterday. And you just talked about as a sports fan, it's just, it doesn't matter who you're rooting for or against. Yeah. It's just sad.
It's sports
it just
depression.
Feels like a loss.
Brian,
it feels like a loss.
It's sports depression because I'm not rooting for the Jets. I mean, I just root for storylines, but that was a storyline that we had been fed for months and it just happened too soon. It was like, wait a minute, hold on. And the highest of highs when Rodgers comes out and carrying the flag, spotlights on him, and you're like, this is out of central casting. And then four plays in. And you know who reached out to me right away, as soon as Rodgers goes down, the actor Josh Duhamel, and he goes, Achilles. And I'm going, well, that's soon, too soon. He goes, no, it's Achilles. And then I thought, okay. And then we're texting back and forth, myself and the Danettes, and we're speculating here. I think when Rodgers got up sat back down. I think he was asked, is he doing okay? And he went, nope. And then I realized he has blown out his Achilles tendon. Crazy.
It's just so sad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's like
it
Bo Jackson.
Who you're rooting for.
Bo Jackson is was a sports depression, because I'm not a Raider fan, but Bo Jackson shouldn't go out that way, where right. He gets tackled in a game against the Bengals, and that's the last we ever see of Bo as a football player. So
yeah.
That sports depression certainly set in. It doesn't happen often, but those are certainly those visceral moments where you're like, oh, my God, this is rough. How's the podcast? Are you allowed to talk about the podcast?
I'm allowed to talk about the podcast. Oh, yes,
okay.
I am.
All right.
Off the beat. It's great. I mean, we're having some trouble because we're having trouble. We're actually speaking to a lot of sports people now more than normal because, you know, of the strike going on. It's difficult to have actors on. And, you know, hopefully that gets resolved soon and we get back. We get back to business, but I'm just loving it. I couldn't love it more. The conversations that we're having, and just had Lindsey Vonn on the podcast, and Andrew Whitworth, and a host of others. It's been AJ Pierzynski. I don't know if you've heard his new Foul Territory thing. It's amazing. Anyway, it's been great, Dan. I appreciate it. It's just been a hard couple of days.
Well, hard couple of months with what's going on with the writers' strike there as well.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. I knew when, I think it was like August 1st, this might be totally wrong, and they canceled the Emmys, which is in the third week of September. I went, well, that doesn't sound good.
No.
At all.
No. By the way, Will Ferrell went with us to Dublin.
Where was my invite, Dan?
Well, that was year one, and okay. and Will is he was the one who kept pushing for us to go to Dublin for a decade. He's the founding father of this.
But okay,
I think we're going to Dublin next year, or
okay.
We might go to London to go to a Premier League game.
Ooh, I like the way you said that. By the way,
thank you.
Premier.
Thank you.
I
will put out a soft invitation to you.
Okay. Let me know. It looked like a lot of fun.
He just said, I'm not a guest. I'm a Danette. Whatever the Danettes do, we're doing. And we hit the pubs. The pubs hit back. But Will was there. And then he flew. So he flies on his own dime. And then fly back on Friday because his dad's birthday is Saturday in L.A. But he went over on Tuesday and stayed till Friday morning and then went back. So it's pretty awesome.
I will tell you this. I had the good fortune of working with him, getting to know him a little bit. And there is no joke. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. I don't know if they've ever spoken about it, but to those of us on the outside, there is a fierce competition between Will Ferrell and Steve Carell on who is the nicest guy in Hollywood.
So we should have a nice off.
Yes. I pitched you the idea.
A nice off. A nice off.
Yes. And I'll be there to be snarky.
No, you'll be the host. You'll be the host because you work with both on The Office.
Yes.
Yeah. A nice off between Steve.
A nice off.
I like that. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have you on here after the strike. And good luck with the podcast. And thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
That's Kevin from The Office. He's been in a variety of things. He's got a podcast out, Brian Baumgartner. And I do think that episode, the chili episode, I don't know what happens elsewhere in that episode. It's such a strong standalone scene with Brian, and he's so proud when he brings the chili in, and then when he falls, and it was a one take. That was it. They did one take, and he has that look when he looks at the camera like, I just spilled my chili. The The key is not to overcook the onions. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories for 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. It's the final hour on this Wednesday. It's Dan and the Danettes, and that means it's Fritzy, it's Seton, and Marvin, and Paulie, and yours truly. It's Big Ten Saturday night, Syracuse, Purdue, 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Here comes Saturday night. We were just talking about great characters. If you could be a role character, who would it be? Any show. We just had Brian Baumgartner on. He played Kevin in The Office. And I thought Killer Mike from Breaking Bad. Well, guess who I just heard from? Bryan Cranston, Walter White, who said, you would be a great hitman. I would give you a name like Leslie or Simon, and I think I could sell that. That you wouldn't sound or look like a hitman, but that he might be able to take this to market. What do you think? Me as a hitman? Name Leslie?
Kind of like with glasses, bespectacled, dressed nice, but you're a killer.
Yeah. Kind of like I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just kill it a different way.
Like one of those Born Identity bad guys. They're always well-dressed. They have a nice BMW.
Yeah. Born Identity. That'd
Clive
be...
Owen type.
Clive Owen.
Yeah. He was a born bad guy.
Yeah, but he dies in the field.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
That one was tough.
I believe with a pen, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, did he get a pen to the neck?
Doesn't he get like a...
No, he gets capped. He's running through a field in the first Bourne movie.
Oh, that's right.
He gets capped in the field. That's the first Bourne movie. The guy who gets the pen in the neck was there later in the episode. They're in France. He gets the pen in the neck, and then he jumps out the window and takes his own life.
Yes. Somebody gets beat up with a magazine, too, at one point.
A magazine?
Yeah. A rolled-up magazine is used as a weapon, effectively.
Do they punch the magazine?
Jason Bourne uses the magazine as, like, a puncher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's trying to save Julia Stiles' character, and he's got that guy in the apartment building. He actually punches him in the face with a book. He holds a book up.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is.
He chokes him out in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yes, Marv.
I feel like you're kind of like, we were talking about The Wire, you're kind of like Avon Barksdale. and like Paulie Stringer Bell and like wear like Wee Bay and Stinkum. And Fritzy's like D'Angelo, like the nice one.
Oh.
I'm like none of those characters in Breaking Bad or in The Wire.
Well, I'm just talking about you're the leader.
Yeah.
No, we're your soldiers.
Yeah, but those guys had that ability to just, I mean, the acting is so great. And then you find out that most of them are from England. Where you're like, okay, they come over here, you're going to play inner city Baltimore, and you're going to be drug dealers. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, you'd see these interviews, Entertainment Tonight would have them, and all of a sudden you'd hear they'd be talking like this. And I'd be like, oh, my God. It took away a little bit of the badassness, if that's a word.
But it made it better act. Like, man, you're even a better actor than I thought, McNulty.
That's true. Yeah, McNulty.
Yeah.
Where's he from?
Very British.
Very British?
Yes. Okay. Dominic West, I think is the actor's name.
Yeah, I think so. Well, great shows.
Snoop is not from England.
No. No.
She's from Baltimore.
Yeah. I like Snoop. Couple of phone calls in here. Let's see. Montague in North Carolina.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Dan and Marv. Yes, I just wanted to recap the highest to low and the lowest to high. You guys left off both number one seeds. Which would you like first, sir?
It's your stage here, Montague.
Okay, sir. So the highest to low would be Dale Earnhardt Jr. Winning the Daytona 500 and found out his dad died in that last lap, the crash. So that would be the highest to low for me. And then the lowest to high is actually pretty good. We'll finish on an up note. And that's Marvin taking over for that four-eyed freak, bad decision-making girl on your show. You did a good job replacing him. So,
what happened there?
I don't know if we need to say that, Montague.
Yeah, Monty.
I wasn't going to call him no names.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
The fact that we went from McLovin to you, that's the lowest to the highest? Is that what he's saying? Okay.
You could have just kept it there.
You could have.
You didn't have to go into all that other stuff. That wasn't very nice.
Kuba in Poland joins us. Hey, Kuba.
Hi. Hi, guys. I just want to share a funny story. I was riding with my wife to the doctor's appointment today, and I put on Private Eyes by the one Hallen Oates, and my wife asked me, how did I came up with that song? And I just thought for a 15 seconds and burst a laugh, because I would have to tell her that, you know, that was there was a bet on Dan Patrick's show, Darius Rucker betted that Dolphins will make the Super Bowl last year, and he lost. So Fritzy was performing two songs before his concert, and while having the rehearsal with Darius Rucker's band, he complained about the ending of Private Eyes. So,
well, Kuba, thank you for thinking of the show while you go in for a doctor's appointment with your wife. Yes, Paul.
It is great to have Sacha Baron Cohen back on the show.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a great Yakov Smirnoff impersonation.
That Borat. Darren Revelle, Action Network business reporter, joining us. I wanted to see if we could find out why some of these sports books voided the Aaron Rodgers futures bets. I don't know, like, these are prop bets. But they didn't take the game off the board with Aaron Rodgers not playing. So Darren, here to help us fill in the gray area there. Why would some of these sports books take the prop bets off the board?
So there's a whole bunch of things going on here. First of all, in Vegas, you can't do any of this stuff. So the Nevada Gaming Control Board, if something happens in a game, if there's an unfortunate injury, guess what? It's a bet. It's an unfortunate injury. That's what happens. It's called a bet, Dan. So in Nevada, none of these guys, we've never had anything like this. Then for the past 5 years, you have a situation where there's legal gambling, and all these guys are trying to get you to bet at their sports book. So they do these things like, oh, it's unfortunate Aaron Rodgers got hurt. We're sorry you bet on him. And it's allowed in these states to do this. Now, in most states, so let's say you had Aaron Rodgers over 200 passing yards. Most of them will then grade it as a loss. and then give you whatever you bet on in bonus bets. Now, people are like, well, why would they do that? The reason they do that is they then mark it up as revenue, right? The sports book won then, right? They grade it as a loss, right? So they mark that up as revenue, and then they don't have to account it for marketing, right? They want to try to keep you. So normally they'll have to pay these marketing costs. And when DraftKings, which is a public company, comes out and says, we paid $400 million to keep people, this is not included. When they give you bonus bets, it's not included. So that's really what they're doing. It's kind of like they're doing an accounting thing. They're trying to keep you there. Now, there's a couple books who said, we're not refunding you, a couple. But most of them looked at each other and said, that guy's refunding you. That guy's refunding you. We want to keep your business. And so there is a whole bunch of refunds, including Jets futures, which you would think that's part of the game. Since when is an injured person kind of allowed you to kind of get your money back? It's a weird thing. And the standard, the guys who've been in the industry forever are driven nuts by this. They can't believe that sports books are doing this.
Dangerous precedent?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Like, okay, so now someone else is hurt in the middle of a game. It was just more unfortunate because it was Aaron Rodgers. I mean, someone getting hurt, okay. What about the I bet, what happens if I bet the over in the game? I bet the over in the game. Well, obviously, I was relying on Aaron Rodgers over Zach Wilson. So yeah, of course, it's a horrible precedent. And I think, you know, at some point, I think the states are going to, state by state, will say, you know, I don't know how much you can do this. Bet is a bet. And these gaming control boards, their responsibility is to keep integrity, right? Which is why for so long, and still in a lot of states, you can't bet on the spelling bee or how about the Oscars or the Grammys in a lot of states, because one person knows already, right? So like these gaming control boards, their job is to say what you can and can't do. And I think in some sense, they've probably failed here in allowing sports books to basically do what they want because the fight for the customers is so great.
But where do they draw the line here, Darren, of a star player? And when, if Aaron Rodgers gets injured in the beginning of the second half, do they do the same thing? If Brock Purdy were to get injured, what would they do with prop bets or futures with the 49ers or Derrick Henry? That's what I'm curious about.
The subtext, right? The just the idea of it seemed to be he didn't run for a yard or throw for a yard. He got sacked and that was it. Like that's because it's so unfortunate. That's what it is. But again, like, yes, Dan, you're right. Where do you draw the line here? You can make up a whole bunch of things. You know, it's tough, but it's just the environment right now where there's so much competition for your dollar. The average person downloads 1.7 gambling apps. So again, like there's loyalty there. They're trying to get you to go to theirs. If you're at FanDuel and FanDuel didn't refund any bets, do you go to DraftKings now because you think that was right? Maybe that's the competition.
Before I let you go, I know that you
got a ticket right there.
You know what?
The butt fumble.
I have the butt fumble ticket. Mark Sanchez is going to join us coming up.
Oh, that's amazing. Do you like how I noticed that right away? Who's on? Is that Mo Lewis?
I think it's Mo Lewis.
Yeah.
Now, is it more valuable if Mark Sanchez signs this?
Yeah, you got to get it. You have to get like one of those. You can pull that out. You should definitely get that signed. Have him sign Whoops, Mark Sanchez.
Whoops, Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this is 2012, the Jets Patriots. A game that I was at, and that was the butt fumble with Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, you know, I love tickets.
Yes,
I recently got a great one, Dan. I got the ticket to Back to the Future 2 when old Biff is talking to young Biff, and he says, "Yeah, UCLA is going to win that game." And he's like, "Yeah, Dad, there's 3 seconds left; they're losing." He's like, "UCLA is going to, you know, the sports almanac game."
Yeah.
So we got that one. So,
wait, that was used in the movie?
No. The actual game, because the game was real. UCLA really won that game on November 12th, 1955, which is actually, it's the same night as the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. Hey, Marvin, listen to this.
I'm going to have you come in and take inventory here with all of the press passes. I have press passes.
Oh, I would love, dude, I would love to do that. That would be tremendous.
I have press passes going back to the early 80s. Boston Garden with the Celtics, Mets World Series with the Red Sox.
What is the single best game you were at that you have a press pass to?
I would say the Buckner Ball.
Right.
That yes. game. Yeah. I was there in Sky Dome when Joe Carter homered to win the World Series.
93.
Yeah.
Yep. Now the 80. Were you in the Red Sox locker room in the bowels and the? Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I didn't have that type of memory. The only memory I had was the I was in the Patriots area with the Tyree catch. But I, you know, the amazing. I at one point I did own the Red Sox champagne. I owned a bottle of unopened Red Sox champagne. Yes, at one point.
Wow. I have the press pass for when Magic hit the sky hook at the Boston Garden.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
To win that. I have my press pass when Jordan announced his retirement in Chicago.
Oh, that's a good one.
Chicago Stadium. Yeah, I have so many of them. I just slapped them up on the doors all over the place here.
We should go through it and film it. I'm in.
All right.
Hopefully you didn't use some sort of goo, and we could take them off the walls without, maybe it's double sided tape or something, without hurting it.
Uh-oh. Hey, great to talk.
All right, take care.
Thank you, buddy. Darren Revell, Action Network business reporter. Yeah, I've got all these press passes, and I save everything, but I have them all over the place. And then I just started looking at them the other day, and I'm going, yeah, that might be valuable, or that might be valuable. Oh, I didn't know I was there for that. Oh, national title game. Oh, this, like, there's over 100 in here. The Olympics, Super Bowl, crazy stuff. And I have all of these patches from minor league baseball teams that I got. I don't know why, but I thought they look pretty damn cool. Thank God I have this man cave, because, you know, my wife would be throwing this stuff out. You know, she threw out two things. She threw out my basketball jersey, and she threw out some records as well. Yes, Paulie.
That's why it's going to be tough for you to retire, because I can't imagine what's going to happen to this stuff on the week after retirement.
It's going to just stay here.
But let's say the building goes away. You get rid of the building, and this stuff eventually has to go somewhere. We talked about the Dansonian or giving it to a sports museum.
I know. Well, I don't know if it's valuable. Well, I do have some valuable things, but then I got some other things that are only valuable to me. Tom Brady autographed jersey to me. Kobe, call me. Kobe wrote the To the White Mamba.
That's a pretty good one.
That is.
That's a one seed.
That's a yes. keeper.
And I didn't realize that when I got the jersey. So we have Amari Stoudemire, Steve Nash, LeBron, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, Derrick Rose.
Called you the White Mamba.
Yeah. I'm like, all right. Yeah. But he would come on the show and he would say that too. But I have Kobe's All-Star jersey. Pretty cool. All right, we'll take a break. Mark Sanchez, how do I say to Mark, would you sign this ticket from the butt fumble? How about, do I say, hey, Mark, look what I have? And then does he say, well, he's not going to say, hey, do you want me to sign that?
Yeah, he will.
No, he won't.
He's a gent.
I don't know if he would say, oh, that okay. You were there? Yes, I was. Yes, he.
Maybe. He might be tired of hearing about it.
Yeah, I know.
I just want to throw out that possibility that maybe it's not what he looks forward to coming on the show. Like, oh, great, we're going to talk USC. We can talk the Jets. We can talk what? You got to bring that up?
Yes, Paul.
I disagree. I think Mark, at one point in his life, probably hated it when he was like still playing. And then when the career is over.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is because he brought it up with Josh Allen.
Right.
The other night.
It's like if you had a picture of Dan Orlovsky running in the back of the end zone. He would autograph it for you.
Yeah.
Because his career is going well. Mark Sanchez's career is going well.
I'm not saying that he won't autograph it for you. I'm just saying, I don't think that he's exactly like,
I don't think he's going to offer it. I don't think he's going to go, oh, cool. Would you like for me to autograph that?
He would embrace it for you. If just someone on the street was saying, hey, sign this. Like, come on, dude. Had enough of that.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Mark Sanchez will join us right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Syracuse and Purdue, 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Here comes Saturday night. Update the poll results there, Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, we got up there. If you were an NFL player, would you want natural grass fields or no testing for grass? Right now, that's at 88% natural grass fields.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of, you know, winking a nod and looking the other way with testing positive. They don't want to catch you. You know, performance-enhancing drugs, they would still want to have the integrity of the game. All right, we'll get.
I feel like people aren't properly reading the second option there, but maybe.
Mark Sanchez, Fox NFL analyst, former NFL USC quarterback. He had the Rams and the Seahawks this past Sunday. He's got the Niners and the Rams. That'll be at 4 Eastern Sunday on Fox. Mark, good to see you again. How's morale?
Oh, we're doing great, man. No complaints over here. Hello to the Danettes. Thank you for having me.
You did give a little bit of a shout out to Josh Allen on Monday night after his fumble, which I did love. And I'd mentioned to the Danettes that I had the ticket from the butt fumble game, which was.
Is that the Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, this is 2012.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is growing up, Thanksgiving, loved Thanksgiving more than Christmas. Before that game, I hadn't lost on Thanksgiving. I don't care whether it was like pickup football in the street, like nothing. Like that was my day. I felt like I had some like special superpower that day. Obviously not, but it was a hell of a run, I feel like, until the run ends.
But you get unfairly blamed for that. Didn't the offensive lineman get blown up?
Listen, I'll never turn state's evidence. All I know is I've listened to the broadcast because Collinsworth called it.
Yeah.
I listened to the broadcast and it was, you know what's funny? It's the same exact thing that Josh did the other night. Or I shouldn't say same exact. I don't like when analysts do that and I almost did it. It's very similar, okay? Because he got the snap and he bobbled the snap because his eyes were somewhere else. He was taking a quick peek at something and boom, he bobbles the snap. And so for me, I was like trying to turn and boom, the running back's not there. I'm like, whoa, this place totally foobarred. We got to go. So you just turn around and get back to the line of scrimmage and get down. Well, that's what Josh did. He's like, oop, foobar, let's roll. And so he runs forward and forgets they have a cross sifter. And here comes the tight end to kick out the DN. And instead of kicking out the DN, he just nails Josh. Well, instead of me getting back to the line of scrimmage, I'm boom, and we know the rest of the story. So it was it's unfortunate, and it happens, but, I mean, whatever.
Can I get this autographed by you?
Ooh. I don't know. My connection's getting fuzzy. What did you ask?
If you could autograph the ticket from the butt fumble. Yeah, right there. Yeah, what, Seton?
I was just going to say, you know, in Mark's defense, Vince Wilfork basically picks up the offensive lineman and throws him into Mark's face.
Oh, I know.
It was like, I mean, it's not even clear. If you watch it from different angles, it's like Vince Wilfork absolutely manhandles this dude. That is tough.
I know. That's why I said that.
That's a tall order to block that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was tough. But I don't know. See, like, it's one of those things, you know, me and the Danettes can make fun of, me and my boys can make fun of, but you can't, Dan. So I don't know if I can do that for you.
Oh, I mean, it's fair. If you don't want to sign it, that's okay. I'll see if I can get Vince Wilfork.
You know, I've gotten that before. People have the actual, People have the, like the picture of it, like a still photo.
Yes.
And I've gone to, like, you know, walk out of games and stuff. And we're like winning and everything's cool. And you're slapping hands. And then somebody's like, hey, man, will you sign this? And you're just like, dude, who invited this guy? You know?
How often would you line up behind the guard instead of the center? How often does that happen in NFL games?
It's happened. It's happened. It generally happens when you're correcting something or fixing something, when you have a young guy or you need to give a quick reminder and you just kind of lose your space. You know, you lose your awareness of exactly where you're at. And, you know, you're saying something to somebody and you just kind of start lining up, but generally you figure it out quickly because something looks off on the defense, right? Something looks like a shade over or two shades over, and you're like, wait, why is this guy standing? Oh, why am I standing here? Here we go. You know?
Let's look back on Monday night with what happened with Rodgers, and if turf played a role in this, in your opinion.
Whew. Listen, I know there's a argument for grass. I feel that sentiment. I think it's much better playing on grass. There's a give to grass as opposed to turf. The actual, you know, dirt can just get kind of kicked up and you have a huge divot instead of getting locked in. I know there's a huge, you know, I don't know the science behind all these little black pebbles in there, the little rubber pebbles. Yeah. And stuff, but people say they're horrible for you. And you know, are they ever ingested by players? Probably. Is that going to be like a huge problem down the line? I don't know. But I know it's, you know, once again, like any of these major controversies, it sure seems you follow the money and grass just costs a lot more to maintain. So I'm not surprised that it's the way it is. And I'm not surprised that players want to play on grass. I preferred playing on grass. My body felt better after playing on grass. I know, especially for the fast guys. The receivers and DBs and all that. I mean, they were, you know, the low back, the hammies, everything. It just feels kind of weird because there's a bounce back. It's like being on a trampoline a little bit. And when you go back on, you know, a regular surface, it takes a second to almost readjust. So, I mean, what are you going to say? I don't know.
You're 3 years younger than Rodgers. Have you reached out to the Jets?
No, and the reason is I am currently on a hot streak in the booth. I'm undefeated in the booth, baby.
I like that. I
haven't gotten hit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm enjoying this part of my life, and, you know, a career pivot, I guess, would be the saying de jour. But I love what I'm doing, and to even get ready to go again, like, you can go. You can always go. I don't care who you are. If you're a ball player, you can do it. But to do it at that level for that period of time and try and do it consistently with your body at this point, once you've been away from it, that's where you get in trouble. I could go play one game. I could go nail a drive right now. You know, I could go play a pickup basketball game if I want it. But I'm not playing 30 games. You know what I'm saying? That's just not where I'm at right
now. Okay, I'm going to let you be the GM of the Jets. What do you do?
Oh, gosh. I'm telling you, I saw plenty from Zach, and I've said this before. You could argue both sides, right? Like, go get a guy, and then, okay, is it worth the transition period and that person learning the playbook and having to adapt to that person and patchwork, piecework, some of that thing together? Or do we just, go all in on Zach Wilson? He was our guy. He's had Aaron around him for like 6 months. This could be the best thing for us. And maybe this was supposed to happen and we'll figure out the rest later kind of deal because of the talent we have even more than last year. I mean, one of the biggest things I saw on that broadcast the other night was Garrett Wilson giving like the pump up speech, reminding Zach, like, we're good. They're going over plays on the, little iPad surface thing. And it's like, dude, we're good. We're going to get open. You just get us the ball, get the ball in the air somewhere near me. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of the rest. You know, you can almost get that feeling from the players. So I think they have enough. I really do. And I've seen enough from Zach to know, like, if you can just figure out a way, Coach Hackett, to pull him back and kind of protect him from himself at times, you'll be just fine with the roster they have. But we've seen other players, whether it's Josh Allen or other guys, like, they have rough games where you try and do too much and you play the hero ball thing and you put the Superman cape on too many times and it goes bad. And the numbers end up, evening out, and you take care of the ball for a series of games and people stop talking about it for a while. But I think they have enough. I really do think that roster's loaded to the point where Zach can handle this thing. It's not ideal for the team. Obviously, they went all in on Rodgers, but
you still have to have a backup, Mark. You have to have somebody who has some experience who doesn't threaten Zach Wilson.
But then who do you bring in? Like, if you bring in a Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan or somebody like that who's established, then what, they're not going to play until they're ready and Zach's going to play?
Yes.
Kind of. You see what I mean? Like, you do some damage to the starter psyche in a way that – I don't know if it's better for.
Well, what if I brought in Joe Flacco?
Oh, because of the familiarity. Yes. See, something like that makes sense.
Okay.
That I can see more than just like, hey, call Tom Brady right now. You know what I mean? If you're bringing in Brady, he's the guy.
If you're Brady, would you entertain this idea?
Ooh. It's just so weird because he just did the retirement.
I know. He said he was
in New England.
Patriot for
life.
And then
the first game he'd be back would be like, he'd play a game in Dallas or maybe not play and then go play in New England.
Against New England.
That would be
crazy. Oh, my God.
That would be just insane. But, selfishly, if he wants to keep playing and not come take one of these spots at Fox, I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to root him on, and I'll say nice things on the broadcast about him.
We're talking to Mark Sanchez, the Fox NFL analyst. He's got the Niners and the Rams. After the Rams went to Seattle, that was the biggest surprise for me.
Incredible.
I kept going, what is going on here? wait, were you saying that in the broadcast?
I really was during the timeouts and TV timeouts and everything. I would just hit the mute button and look at Kevin Kugler. I'm like, what in the hell? Like, they're handling them, and I've seen both teams practice. It's not that they didn't have the players in Los Angeles, but you just didn't know all of them, right? And you'd never seen them. And now a bunch of rookies and young players are going to go up to Seattle where they're feeling good. Like, the 2 days before the game, when I'm there in the city, you can tell kind of if you're in a city where the team's got some juice and some energy, like, there was something you could feel in that city, excited for Geno Smith and this team to take the next step with all their young draft picks really starting to come of age. And it was a great atmosphere for football. So I just, you just kind of assume, you kind of get lulled to sleep by some of that stuff because it's in your face everywhere. And you're like, oh, okay, this is the way the game probably should go. And the way Stafford played, the way they, you know, got guys like Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua involved. And the other thing I thought was really interesting, and Raheem Morris kind of mentioned this to us, was, you know, playing with Aaron Donald and these young guys, because everybody asks, like, okay, well, who else? You know, the last time they won the Super Bowl, it was Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, and Aaron Donald. Well, when you can name three guys like the Niners coming to town who have Hargrave, Armstead, Bosa, oh, and by the way, Drake Jackson, hailing from USC. When you can name all those guys on the D-line, you know that team's legit. So I couldn't name all these other guys. I'm looking at a bunch of rookies, and they got to play with Aaron Donald. And when you play with Aaron Donald, it's like Raheem Morris made the analogy, like playing with Magic or playing with Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. Like, you got to learn how to play with them, because that dude's going to make some crazy plays, and you got to be ready for the no-look pass. You got to be ready for the last-second dish. You got to go set the pick, do all the dirty work, and every once in a while, you're going to score 15 to 20 points, but not every night. Aaron Donald's going to score the points. He's going to get the sacks. He's going to get the accolades. You got to work with him. You got to go do the dirty work and take on two linemen and the halfback and let him run free and do what he does. So it was interesting watching that happen. And Turner, Byron Young, these guys that they have, they can clearly do it. It was fun to watch.
How sustainable is Deion's success at Colorado this initial season?
I think, listen, they got a lot of momentum. There's no question about that. It's about, are they going to be able to adjust, not just game to game, but like halftime, first half to second half? Are these, when some of this stuff wears off and somebody gets them down, like they were in a little more of a battle last week against Nebraska early. They were in a battle with TCU, but I want to see them down 10, 14, 21 points and then at halftime and see what this team is about and get them through all those situations. I want to see, you know, they're riding so high with confidence because they've checked a lot of those boxes, right? Shedeur Sanders did it in 2 minute drills in crucial situations, third down, red zone. He's been handling it. So I want to see when a game starts real slow for him and then watch him turn on the gas before you like fully jump on the bandwagon. But I can't lie, I've been so impressed and so pleased watching them. You know, I got that date circled in a couple weeks for my boys at SC to go play Colorado.
Yeah, I know. You got that coming up. That'll be interesting. Oregon against Colorado. But you got Colorado State coming up this weekend. Hey, great to talk to you again, as always, and have fun. Niners-Rams, that'll be at 4 Eastern Sunday on Fox. Thank you, Mark.
Appreciate it, guys. We'll see you.
Mark Sanchez. I don't know if I got an absolute no that he wouldn't sign the butt fumble ticket. I certainly didn't get an absolute yes. What do you think? Should I press the issue? Self-addressed stamped envelope, Todd?
He'll sign it.
Yeah.
He's right. A good dude.
What if I had him do but dot 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 and then Mark Sanchez?
I think he would do, he'd play along with whatever you wanted on there.
Oops. Yes, Paulie.
Or you put ask me again on there.
Oh.
I don't think you wanted it signed until he said no. And now you want it twice as much. Like you kind of wanted him to sign it, and when he didn't want it, now you want it twice as much.
Hmm. Okay, fair enough. All right. Todd, maybe you can work on that for me.
We can do that. I really believe he'll sign.
I think Mark is still listening to us right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.